Hey there, podcast listeners. My name is Catherine Schifferdecker, and I'm one of the hosts of a new podcast, The Bible in a Year, from Luther Seminary. I'm here to invite you to check out this weekly podcast where we walk through all 66 books of the Bible in 52 episodes. Episodes drop every Wednesday in 2026, and they feature conversations with Luther Seminary faculty and guests that offer accessible scholarly insights to shape daily life through Scripture. Find the podcast by searching for The Bible in a Year from Luther Seminary on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Or you can listen today at enterthebible.org/2026. Thanks. And now back to your regularly scheduled podcast. Welcome to the Enter the Bible podcast, where you can get answers or at least reflections on everything you wanted to know about the Bible but were afraid to ask. I'm Catherine Schifferdecker.
And I'm Katie Langston. And today on the podcast, we are joined by a very special guest. This is Holly Wolt-Walsh. She's pastor and adjunct professor of pastoral care here at Luther Seminary and author of the book, They Don't Come With Instructions.
Cries, Wisdom, and Hope for Parenting Children with Developmental Challenges.
Ooh, awesome. Wonderful. Yeah, great. Yeah, that's great. So welcome, Holly. We're so glad to have you. Yes. And that is one of the reasons why we invited you on today to talk a little bit about, what hope or
hope and help are really close together.
They feel like that to me. Does the Bible offer any hope or help for parents, like frustrated or distraught or, I don't know, stressed out?
Well, yes.
Oh, good.
But not in the way that you think.
Oh, no.
It's not like, turn to page 36 if you run into
Ephesians
this problem.
4, whatever. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of the book, too, is that you'd wish you had any parent wants an instruction book.
I would have loved one.
Right?
I would love one.
And then there was
this
book, What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Yes.
You know, when
right.
I was having my kids, it was like in the second edition, and now I think it's like 8.
Yeah.
You know, my kids are much older now. But, you know, the idea that there's, you can just look up answers, right? You got
be.
A problem, and you just look it up.
But,
and
right.
And I think that's what parents, we're all looking for that, right? Because mm-hmm. we watch other people do it, and it looks like, they've got it easy. They've got it all figured out. And I don't want to ask them because I'm afraid they might be, missing something. But yet I'm having this situation that I can't get through. So I'm going to be looking for answers. So if you're looking for what to do with a kid that continues to wet their bed, you're not going to find that.
What?
I'm
Are
sorry.
You sure it's not in Leviticus
I'm
somewhere?
It really, you never know.
I mean, because who's actually read Leviticus?
Whoever gets to the end of that.
I have read Leviticus. There's nothing about
That's what you get when you get an Old Testament scholar on here.
Shoot,
you know? She'll debunk all those.
Yeah, right.
But, what I see and the way I read the scripture too is these stories and a lot of the stories that I get from and one is Jacob wrestling with God.
Yeah, beautiful. Genesis.
You know, 32. And I mean, so I look at that because there are sometimes, and my youngest son lives with autism and a profound hearing loss, and both my kids were born extremely premature. Spent, 4 to 6 months in the hospital, and very difficult times. Both of them were near death. One was near death way more times than you want. So, for me, stories like wrestling a blessing, to be able to say, again, God can handle my anger and my frustration. And I can just say, hey, God, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in the middle of something and it's very difficult and I'm struggling, but I want you to show up and I want a blessing.
Yeah.
And, So when I read stories like that, that says, I enter into that and I'm wrestling with God. And I know that, again, God can handle what I'm going through.
Yeah.
You know, God can handle my emotions because God gave those to me. And and again, I also like the book of Psalms again, the laments, how long, oh God, how long will you forgive me forever?
Yeah.
How long will I bear pain in my soul? Psalm 13.
Mm-hmm.
These things that really let me express my emotion, but also trust and hope and faith in God, that God can provide what I need. Even though I'm screaming and hollering at God, God can also come to that rescue. So as a parent, for me, it was helpful that I could just like, blah, you know, put it all out there, you know, and that God accepts that.
Yeah.
What's not helpful for parents is when somebody says, oh, God is obviously trying to teach you a lesson.
Oh, yeah. That's so, never a helpful thing to say.
And it was my second son born premature. It's like, well, God is trying to teach you something. It's just like, well, you know, God could find a different way to teach you whatever God wants. And so I always say, we can't impose our meaning on somebody else,
right?
But they find their own. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I go through my struggles, and yes, maybe God is present always in that, and I learn from that.
Sure.
But did God give me that struggle just so that I could learn this one thing? That really doesn't sound like a God that I like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to give that people and parents the grace and love to wrestle with God and come up with their own, you know, with their own blessing in that. Mm-hmm. So back to the Jacob story.
That's nice. So people can interpret for themselves.
Right.
The meaning of their own experience
right. and work that out with God. But for us to come in from the outside and impose that on them, that's a pretty bad idea. And
yes,
it's profoundly unhelpful.
Definitely.
Okay. That's
and
good
to
well said.
To mm-hmm. yes, to be so sure that we know God's will of for someone else's
for them,
life.
Right.
Yeah,
it's like,
is not
well obviously
God is trying to teach you this. It was like, oh my gosh.
Please don't say those words to me.
There's many verses in the Bible, many passages about parenting and mm-hmm. some are not as helpful. Like there's a passage in Deuteronomy about if your adult son rebels against you and is a drunkard and abusive, then you take him out, you know, and the elders of the people stone him to death, right?
Oh.
Like that's not particularly helpful.
No,
I think, right? That's rather extreme.
That sounds very extreme.
That's one of those texts that I, you know, try to say, well, that was then.
Context, yes.
And that, again, adult son, abusive, whatever. So, and there's no lifetime in life sentence in prison. But anyway, there are many other scriptures that we look to and examples, mm-hmm. right? So I think when I teach about the story of Hannah, for instance, mm-hmm. right? Hannah, who's barren, many yes. barren women in the Old Testament, right? She prays mm-hmm. Eli, first thinks she's drunk and then right. says, well, God hears your prayer. And she's given Samuel, and she gives him up as a young boy to the service of Eli, the high priest. And again, I don't think we're necessarily meant to follow that example of giving. You know, we don't take our children.
Here, child.
Don't take the five-year-old to church.
I shall decide for you what thou shalt be.
Right.
Uh-huh. And yet, just the kind of meaning behind Hannah's action, I would read as something like she recognizes through this action that Samuel is a gift to her from God, and she doesn't cling too tightly to the gift, doesn't control too much, as opposed to someone like David, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just a few chapters later, we meet David. And he's not the greatest parent, you have to say. Like he's very permissive with his sons,
mm-hmm.
and when one of his sons rapes his daughter, right, the half sister Tamar, David doesn't chastise him, doesn't you know? So there's a kind of
the adulterer.
Yes, right. There's a kind of mm-hmm. David himself is sinful. But there's a kind of contrast, I think, there between Hannah and David, of Hannah, who obviously loves her child and is given children besides Samuel, but recognizes that Samuel is a gift from God, and she offers that gift back to God. And then David, who is so permissive and doesn't raise his sons in the fear of the Lord, as Proverbs would say, right? Doesn't teach them how they should live, and disaster, you know, comes into his family because of that.
Well, yeah,
so I don't know. There's no instruction manual.
No,
right? But
no, there isn't.
This. There is a kind of in the Bible a recognition that children are a gift from God.
Yeah,
Examples of parents, like I think of the father and the prodigal son story, who loves you know, past the point of reason.
And
welcomes his son back when his son repents. So there are examples. Obviously, there's lots in scripture about teaching your children.
Right. The didactic piece.
Yeah. And teaching your children wisdom, Proverbs. Yeah. And also teaching them Deuteronomy, besides that terrible passage I talked about. Deuteronomy talks a lot about.
We like this one in Deuteronomy.
This one, yes.
That other one in Deuteronomy.
Well, Deuteronomy 6, you know, teach your children about God, right? Like train up your child. Talk about it when, talk about God when you're at home and when you're away.
Right.
You know, when you're sitting down to eat. So there's, there's some guidelines, I suppose, even if not instructions.
And to open your child's heart to the Word of God, and provide for opportunities like that. And that's, of course, you know, when we do baptism, that's what we promise to do in churches to bring that. And I do think, and that's the thing you cling to is that promises. It's like, you know, when this child is baptized, it's God's child, and it's and I always looked. Well, of course, my kids came to me hard. It took me hard to get to my kids, but I saw them as a gift too, because there's numerous times neither one of them would have made it. And how do I raise these children as gifts, and with wisdom and guidance, but also hold on to that God cares about them too.
Amen.
And that I just had a dental appointment this morning where the hygienist is saying, "Well, my son kind of wandered away from the church." You know, they find out that you're a pastor, and then they say,
"Oh, yes,
you know,
right, exactly.
That's the confession wherever
this
you
does
are."
Happen.
Yes, it does happen. And then he you know, he was in church growing up, and now he's, you know, wandering around. It's like it's the toughest thing as a parent to watch our kid do that. But we have to cling to those promises that God is still with our kids. You know, when they're with us, when they're not with us, that God's presence is there, and clinging to that. And I always love the story about Abraham and Sarah, or Abram and Sarai. You know, they hoped against hope. That God made a promise when there was no way for this promise to be made. You know, how are they going to be a multitude? And they never even saw the multitude, ever.
They only
saw that one baby.
And
they hoped against hope that God would make a way.
Right.
And I think, you know, as a parent and having two adult sons, it's like, I hope that God will make a way. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're not doing what I want them to do, or I see them wandering, I pray that God will make a way and God will work. And that's another gift that I think we have as parents is that we, whatever we lack in skill, we can make up for on our knees in prayer.
That's wonderful.
To really cling to that power of prayer, that ability to lift up to God all our concerns and our children and their lives, and say, "Hey, you promised.
Yeah, right.
It's your kid too.
Yeah, it's your kid too.
So I want you, you know, to cling to that.
That's good.
It's sort of like I've always thought it's kind of funny how kind of dysfunctional the families in Genesis are,
yes,
in particular.
Very dysfunctional.
Makes you feel good about your family, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. If you thought your family was bad.
Exactly.
But there's also this kind of relief that comes from that as well, because, you know, as a parent, yes, my children are gifts. Sometimes I wonder if I got a defective unit, but then I think maybe I'm the defective unit. I'm not sure.
Mirror back.
But you know, like reading about, you know, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their families, and how it's kind of a hot mess over there sometimes, and yet God is faithful to God's promises despite the. You know, despite the ways in which they are kind of screw ups, it does give some hope. Like, I'm glad that the portrayal of family life in the scripture isn't this sort of perfect, smiley, suburban.
It's not the face. It's not the curated Facebook,
right?
Or the Christmas card,
right?
Or the Christmas letter that has the perfect family.
And I think sometimes in our churches, like, we show up with, we try to put on the, you know, the fake face and with the family and pretend like everything's fine when everything isn't fine, and you know, I think sometimes we've put that expectation on ourselves despite what the scriptures teach us about what family is actually like.
Exactly.
And so maybe we should stop doing that.
Yes.
Sounds good.
Yeah. That sounds like wise advice.
Speak to myself, right?
Right, it's like, exactly.
Am I hearing what I'm saying?
Maybe
right
I should stop doing that. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
I think about images of or metaphors of God as parent, usually mm-hmm. father, of course, in the Old Testament, in the Bible, but God as loving mother or father.
Mother bear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hens and chicks.
A hen gathering her mm-hmm. chicks.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that, what you said, Holly, was really profound, that they are not just my children mm-hmm. or my husband's children, but they are also God's children and that God mm-hmm. is faithful. So that in our frustrating moments, and all of us have frustrating moments as parents and moments when we doubt our own abilities as parents, we rely on God's faithfulness yep. and God's love. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 131. It's only 3 verses long, mm-hmm. but part of the reason I love it so much is I think it's written by a mother, mm-hmm. right? I mean, probably most of the psalms are written by men, but this one says, "O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a young child with its mother. My soul is like the young child that is with me right now." Hmm. And then it ends, "O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore." So it's the NRSV, by the way, translates "wean child." I hate that translation because... if you've ever weaned a child, you know that they're not very calm, right? Weaned child meaning just a young child, right?
Right.
A toddler.
Right. A toddler.
And I think, you know, I love that image of I don't know about you guys, but one of the most comforting things for me, I was once very, very sad over a miscarriage, actually. Mm. I'd lost a child late in my second trimester, and my son Isaac was two and a half when that happened. And one of the most comforting things in that very sad time was just rocking him, you know, in the rocking chair, just right. holding him and rocking him. And so I picture that when I read this psalm, right? Yeah. I have calmed and quieted my soul like a young child, like with his mother. You know, my soul is like the young child that I'm holding right now. You know,
that's lovely.
That kind of comfort, you know, even in the really sad times, or especially in the really sad times mm-hmm. or the frustrating times, you know, that God holds us like a mother holding her child, rocking her child.
Right.
That kind of love and comfort is a real gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Holly, for being with us. This was so helpful, and thank you, Catherine, for sharing that. And you, our dear listeners and or viewers on YouTube, thank you for being with us as well. This has been another episode of the Enter the Bible podcast, and you can get more resources, reflections, research, Bible studies, courses, all kinds of things at enterthebible.org. And of course, rate and review us on your favorite podcast app or right here on YouTube, and be sure to share the podcast with a friend. Until next time.